Well, there are new concerns growing over a mutated version of the Omicron variant, now dubbed the stealth variant, with more than 100 cases in the U.S. reported so far. Let's bring in Dr. Howard Forman, Yale professor of radiology and public health and co-host of the Health and Veritas podcast. We've also got our very own Anjali Kamlani joining in on the discussion. Dr. Forman, always good to talk to you. There's a lot of questions. Anytime our viewers hear another variant, what do we know about stealth so far and how concerned should we be?
Yeah, look, all indications from the people that I trust who really this is their expertise are saying this looks to be more transmissible, not by a lot, but enough. But in every other way, it's functional like Omicron. It's going to be neutralized by the same antibodies. The body should respond to it roughly the same. It is very similar to Omicron, except that it is slightly more transmissible. And therefore, by being more transmissible, it probably extends out the tail of this outbreak a little bit more.
Dr. Forman, I wonder about that and the concerns that we should have, considering everything we know about the level of vaccinations in the U.S., as well as the recent surge with infections. How concerned should we continue to be about not just this subvariant, but other emerging variants?
I think we're going to always be looking out for more variants, but I do believe, as most people do right now, that a combination of acquired and vaccine-induced immunity, so acquired immunity either through infection or vaccine over the last 6 or 9 months is going to have an enormous impact over continued spread. And those individuals that have had a booster shot, those individuals who have had infection plus a vaccination, so on, are going to be relatively more protected. Those individuals who have not had a booster shot or have had infection but no vaccination or vaccination without the booster, as I said, are going to be less protected. We're going to have to keep watching this. The general sense is that severe disease, hospitalization, deaths should continue to be muted among people who have some level of acquired immunity.
With that said, you know, in a place like New York City, where I am right now, we've seen past the peak of Omicron. And I wonder what you're seeing across the country. To the point you just made right now, how does this new variant, stealth, complicate the response?
Yeah, look, it is complicating the response only in the sense that it will extend the tail of the outbreak a little bit. And by that, I mean that whereas we might have expected levels to go down to 50, they'll actually go down to only 60 at a certain date. It'll take a little longer for us to extinguish an outbreak or mitigate the outbreak. I think the news out of New York City in particular has been really very positive. And I think it's being underplayed because the city has been so beleaguered during this outbreak. But the positive rate in New York right now, the number of cases in New York right now, the number of new admissions for COVID right now are way back to levels from December. And it indicates that transmission is probably getting really close to pre-Omicron levels. So New York has made it past to the other side of this outbreak. You're going to continue to have new infections, but at a much lower rate than we've seen over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So that's the good news. The bad news is that we're going to continue to have outbreaks over time, and it's not likely to be Omicron-related outbreaks that are going to pop up again in 6 months. It's likely to be something else, as we've come to experience, and we can hope that it'll continue to be less virulent, either because of existing immunity or because of sort of native lower virulence, native lower dangerousness of the virus, or the immunity that we've acquired over this time. I think we're entering a period that most of us are hoping will become the new normal. Until this point, there were still substantial numbers of people that had no exposure to either vaccine or prior infection. I saw somebody last evening in the ER. I was shocked by this, by a 40-year-old that was otherwise at high risk presenting with COVID pneumonia. And I went into the chart to just see why that was happening, and sure enough, unvaccinated. So there still are people that have not had COVID in the past that are unvaccinated that are still showing up to the hospital, but fewer and fewer of them are available to be infected now.
I wonder about masking and all of this, Dr. Furman, because I know now that the U.S. is, providing masks to the general public, specifically N95s. And we've talked about, some people projecting that the end of the pandemic will be this year. Putting that whole debate aside, how do you see this surge and the protection that it's going to offer as it plays out through the rest of the year into fall and the whole discussion about returning to work and returning to normal and returning to schools?
Yeah, look, I've said many times on your show and others that, like, we got to remain humble. The number of times I've heard people tell me this is finally over and in the next few months we'll experience, like, life after pandemic is a large number, and it will probably continue to get larger. This is going to continue to befuddle us at various points in time. On the other hand, we understand much more about how to manage this day to day. We know that N95 masks will protect you individually and protect those around you. Other masks are probably more effective at protecting people around you, but not you. We know that we have a vaccine that works very, very well. I am continued by the opportunity I have to practice medicine in an emergency room as a radiologist. I consistently see how effective the vaccines are. And to those that have not been vaccinated, it is never too late to try to get vaccinated. And for those that are worried about a booster, you should get the booster, because we still are seeing a lot of younger people who have not gotten the booster who now show up with overdue for booster and presenting with symptoms. So we're still pushing those as one of our best remedies to get us out of this. We know masks work, particularly N95 masks. And as the winter turns to spring, we're expecting to see seasonal changes as well that should benefit us.
Doctor, let's talk about what's playing out over in China. We're 5 days out from the start of the Winter Games over in Beijing. The city now reporting its highest COVID case counts in 18 months. It's still relatively very small when you compare it to Western countries. But I wonder what kind of protection do you think is in place? I mean, they've had this zero COVID policy, but China has largely been closed off until now. And now you've got athletes arriving. Chinese citizens have been vaccinated, but yet with the Chinese vaccine that hasn't shown the same immunity as the mRNA vaccines, how do you see this spreading, or do you think China has a pretty good control with the protocols in place?
Look, China will get this under control over time, but not in enough time to spare a lot of Olympic athletes and others from being, having an experience that they didn't want to have during this time. You know, China, as you say, is unique in so many ways. They've had very little infection-acquired immunity. They have vaccine-acquired immunity, but primarily from their vaccine. But none of the vaccines seem to be very effective at preventing transmission. They are effective at reducing transmission, but they certainly don't stop it. It would not be surprising that our athletes can get infected. And it's why I'm sure every one of them are doing everything they can to avoid infection and avoid losing this once every 4-year opportunity to demonstrate their skills. This is a tough time for China. This is a tough time for a lot of countries. There are countries in East Asia where vaccine hesitancy is highest among the elderly. And those countries are really in for a lot of pain if spread starts to take off, because in those countries, you have not protected the elderly and those who are most infirm. And you will see a disproportionate number of deaths with relatively smaller outbreaks.
Dr. Furman, finally, where do we go from here in terms of what we anticipate will be guidance for the rest of the year? And looking specifically at still the internationally unvaccinated population, still struggling to get vaccines despite commitments that we hear coming up, what do you see that as in terms of the timeline?
Yeah, we're still very far behind globally in terms of vaccination. Some of it has to do with making the vaccines available. Some of it is about access to the vaccines in those countries, the logistics of actually getting the vaccines into arms. And some of it, as I mentioned, is still about hesitancy. And we have to be able to tackle all three of those things. We have to do a better job. The less there is replication of virus inside humans, the less likely of having a new variant that is going to cause us to interrupt our lives again. Travel bans are continuing. There's a lot of frustration out there, and we're going to have to figure out how do we live with this, because this is not going away. It's never going away. But at the same time, in our country right now, we're watching roughly 2,300, 2,400 deaths a day. And that's only by our explicit count. It may, in fact, be higher than that. So we're not even close to a new normal yet. We have to figure out how to get our country and the globe to be able to cooperate with one another to get to a new normal.
Yeah, it's a sobering reminder of where things still stand. Dr. Forman, always appreciate you hopping on with us. Dr. Howard Forman, Yale Professor of Radiology and Public Health and co-host of the Health and Veritas podcast.